together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Whatever valley you may be going through, it's natural to want to get out of the valley. Nobody wants to be in a valley. Nobody wants to be in difficult circumstances. Nobody wants to live in pain. Nobody wants to suffer. But God has a purpose in it. God is, in a sense, as that song said, planting seeds. He wants to do something through your life, through what you're going through. So I appreciate that song. I mentioned to you I've been down a little bit this week, and so I asked Brady Scott to come and preach this morning. So Brady, you come on up. And he's been a real blessing to me. He's been with us now. It'll be a month on Tuesday. And just has a really sweet spirit about him. It's very evident that God has done a great work in his life. And just glad that God brought him here to intern with us for these few months. So Brady, you bring God's word to us this morning.
Sir, thank you, Pastor. All right. Amen. It's good to be here with y'all this morning. Good to hear the little ones worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a special blessing. I love it when we hear our little kids praising God. This country needs a lot more of that. Brother Paul was talking about how this country needs revival. Well, this country ain't going to get revival unless our kids start worshiping God. And that'll lead this country into revival in the future. So that was a special blessing to me. So before we get started, I'd like to just open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Father God, we just thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you how good you are to us as your children, Lord. We thank you that you welcome the little children into your arms, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, that, Lord, you just bless this message this morning, that you get me out of your way, God. You know I'm not worthy to preach or teach your word. I'm not worthy to handle your book, Lord. I'm not even worthy to look at your words, God. And I just pray, Lord, that despite myself, Lord, you get me out of your way, Lord, that you would have your way with this service, Lord, that it would be a blessing to those who hear. And, Lord God, we just want you to be glorified, Lord Jesus. We want your word to be exalted. So help us now, Lord God, that you would be honored, glorified, and that you'd get a blessing, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to talk to you all about something this morning, and it's not anything personal when I say it, so don't get upset about it, but I want to tell y'all this morning that you have a heart problem. You've got a heart problem. I've got a heart problem. We all have a heart problem, according to God. And so what I'm talking to you about today is not some kind of condition. I'm not talking about a heart attack. I'm not talking about some kind of something you take medicine for, something that a surgeon has to do a procedure in order to set straight. That's not the kind of heart problem I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a physical issue, but this does have physical consequences, this heart problem does. So if you would, please go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to take a look at this. So knowing that we have a heart problem, we need to identify the source of the problem or acknowledge that we do in fact have an issue. Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 20 through 27. It says this, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And so I want you to see what he says here. In verse 23, he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And so it tells us right here in the text that the problems that we have in life come from the heart. Sin problems, things that we care about that concern us, come from our heart. Things that we worry about, ideas that we have that cause us stress or concern, the things that we care about, that we worry about, issues in life, they come from the heart. When you love somebody, you love them with the heart. And so there's a sensitivity there. There's a lot of issues. And a lot of times we get confused because really we just have a concern in our heart and there's a miscommunication or something goes wrong. And really, a lot of our problems are self-made, if not all of our problems are self-made. And it comes from the heart. Out of it are the issues of life. So we have a heart problem. But look at verse 20. He says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." And so God tells us in His Word, to counteract that problem, we need to get His words in our heart. We need the Word of God to correct our heart in such a way that it helps us in the issues of life. That it helps us that we don't cause our own issues out of our heart. He tells us to get those words of His into our heart. He tells us to keep our eyes on His words, because when we look at it and we focus on it, it gets into our heart. So we need to watch what we're looking at, because that's going to get into our heart. And we can look at things that we ought not be looking at. We can look at things that are against God's Word, that are against the principles and the Scripture that God gives us in His holy book, and that can get into our heart, and that can cause some issues, and that can cause some problems. So we need to be careful what we put our eyes on, because whether it's good or bad, it's going to get into our heart. God tells us to get that Word of His into our heart, to look at His words, and it'll get into our heart. He says in verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We have to keep our heart. And he mentions diligence here. We talked about that a bit in Sunday school about diligence. Diligence is maintaining a constant awareness, a constant effort being put forth. You don't just do it one time and then slack off and you're good. You don't just read God's Word one time and it gets in your heart that day and you're good. You don't need to do it again. Diligence requires maintenance. It requires constant effort. It requires a continuing effort. And we are to continue to keep our heart with all diligence by looking at God's Word and allowing God's Word to affect our heart. It's something we have to do every day, diligently. It says in verse 24, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee." The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that it's not what goes into man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his mouth, because that comes from our heart, right? And so what we say is going to reflect the condition of our heart. And what we say also, if we don't think before we say it, could also affect the condition of our heart. We can be a blessing to others if we're saying things that are in line with God's Word, or we can be a curse to others if we're saying things that go against God's Word. And now you're spreading that. You're getting bad ideas into somebody else's heart because you didn't keep your heart with all diligence by the Word of God. He says in verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And so we're told here to remove our foot from evil. Where we go is going to have an effect on our heart. Because where we go is going to affect what we're around, what we see, what we hear, what gets into our heart. It's going to affect what we do. We have to ponder the path of our feet. And this starts by getting God's Word in front of us, in our eyes, and letting it affect our heart. And if we do that, God's Word will lead us where we ought to go. It will keep us from going where we shouldn't go. And so now, if you would, please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. We've acknowledged that we have a heart problem, because out of our heart come forth the issues of life. But let's get deeper into it. As God's Word does give us a stronger diagnosis of our heart problem. Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to read the first 11 verses of this chapter here. Jeremiah 17, verse 1 says this, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs, and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." And so we see here in verse 9 that God clearly lays out in the Scripture that our heart is deceitful above all things and that it is desperately wicked. We do, in fact, have a heart problem. And so I want to tell you this morning that this idea in our culture, our idea in society today that, you know, you should just follow your heart. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Don't follow your heart, because if you follow your heart, we're getting ready to go through these verses and you're going to wind up in the same places that the children of Judah were here. You're going to wind up in the same places of sin that these people wound up if you follow your heart. That's what they did here in Jeremiah 17. They followed their heart, right? But the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. We need to follow God's word. We need to let his word lead us. We need to let his word take us to the places we need to go. We need to let his word affect our heart to counteract that deceitful wickedness that's in our hearts. So look at verse 1 in chapter 17. "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, and with the point of a diamond it is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills." And so we see that this sin is written on their heart. It's engraved in their heart. It's deep. It's very, very deep. And I want you to notice what he says here in verse 2, "whilst their children remember their altars and their groves." And I want to tell you that if you're following your heart and the places that you will go by following your heart, it's going to create memories. And those memories, if they're against the word of God, are not going to be good. And those things are going to keep coming up in your thoughts. They're going to pollute your thoughts. If you keep looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, if you go places you shouldn't be going, if you feed on the things that war against the word of God, it's going to create memories. And those memories are going to keep popping up, and you're going to have to battle that through the word of God if you're going to move forward with God. But your children are going to remember those things. They're going to see what you're doing. They're going to pay close attention. They're going to remember the memories that were created when mom and dad were just following their heart and not following God. So we need to be very careful about where we go. We need to be very careful about listening to our heart rather than listening to the voice of the Lord through his word. It has a grave impact on our future, on the future of our children. Verse 3, "O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever." And so God is judging their sin. But I want you to focus on what it says here. "For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. God is not pleased when we follow our heart. God is not pleased when we allow our deceitful, wicked heart to lead us into sin, and then we lead our kids and the next future generation into sin. It makes God angry. He does not like it. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And I want to tell you this morning that you need to check yourself. We need to always check ourselves and make sure, is our heart with the Lord? Is your heart with the Lord this morning? Or has your heart departed from the Lord? Because if it has, we're going to see what fruit that bears. Verse 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. There will be no fruit in your life for God. There will be no spiritual fruit if you allow your heart to lead you away from the Lord. If you follow your heart, your spiritual condition will be like this right here, like the heath in the desert, the dry places, wilderness. Nothing grows there. There's no life there. There's no fruit there. Nothing is even living. There's no desire to be in a place like that. And those are the places that your heart will lead you if you follow your heart. We need to follow the Word of God. Verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And we see that in Psalm 1. Blessings that the man receives when he makes the Word of God his focus. When he makes the law of the Lord his joy. He delights in it. He meditates in it, it says in Psalm 1. And we see that here. When your heart is right with the Lord, you will enjoy reading his words. Your joy will come from this book. And there will be fruit and good things that will come from it. There will be prosperous things in your life for God according to his word. If you trust in him and you don't trust in your heart, we need to be very careful that we don't follow our own hearts and that we follow the words of God. Look at verse 9 again. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the truth is, guys, our heart is so deceitful. Our heart is so desperately wicked. Why are we going to follow our heart? I don't even know the wickedness of my own heart. I don't even know where it wants to lead me. I just know it wants to lead me away from God's word. We need to make sure that we don't follow our heart and we follow the word of God, that we let him direct our paths and lead us and guide us, because our heart will lead us into all kinds of wickedness and sin if we let it. Because our heart's flesh, and in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. We need to make sure that we let God lead us and let his word affect our heart so that we will make decisions for the Lord, and that our kids can see that we make good decisions for the Lord, so that we give them memories of times when we trusted in God and not memories of times where we said, who needs the Lord? Let's go do this. I've got this. I know a guy. We need to trust in God. Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. The Lord knows what's in your heart, even if you don't. He knows what's in all of our hearts. He tries our hearts by the word of God to try and build in us a clean and pure heart that wants to follow him, that wants to be right with him. But if you look at the end of verse 11, this is what happens if you follow your heart and not the word of God. At your end, you will be a fool. At your end, you will be a fool. Because you will have followed your own desires, you have followed your own passions, and you haven't said, you know what, I know what I want to do. I know what I like. But what does God say? What does God want me to do? What does God like? What pleases him? I know what pleases me. Nothing good, but what pleases God? So we need to not follow our hearts. We need to follow God and let him affect where we go. So if you would now turn with me to Psalm 119. The Lord gives us a very clear remedy to this heart issue, and we've already talked about it, but we're going to go a little more in depth with it now. He provides a remedy But the question is, are you using that remedy for your heart problem? He provides a remedy. He gives us clear instruction. In Psalm 119, we're going to look at verses 9 through 16. Now, it starts out addressing a young man. And so this is very good wisdom from the Word of God for anyone that's young. But it's also very good wisdom for anyone of any age, because we all have to submit ourselves to the Word of God, and we all come before the Lord as little children. Amen? So we all need to heed this advice. Verse 9 says this, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." And so we have very clear instructions here on what to do about our heart. He says in verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And we need to allow God's word to wash us clean. We need to allow God's word to wash our hearts, because our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. It is constantly brewing up filth inside of us. And we need to let God's word wash us clean. We need to let God's word cleanse our way. Verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee, O, let me not wander from thy commandments." We need to make a conscious decision to apply our heart to the words of God. Because it is a choice. It is a choice. And if you just sit back and let your heart lead you, you'll have made the wrong choice. You need to be proactive and get into God's word and decide with your whole heart that you're going to find out what He wants you to do. Decide with your whole heart that you want to do what He says you should do. You need to follow the word of God. And He says, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." You know the hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." Our heart will lead us away from God. Our heart will cause us to wander into the things that we see, you know, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. We need to stay away from those things. We need to not let our heart lead us and guide us in what we desire. We need to find out, what is God's desire for us? Or we will wander. We will wander from His commandments. Our heart wants us to wander. Verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And that was what happened with God's people, as we read in Jeremiah 17. Their sins had a negative impact on their own personal lives. Their sins had a negative impact on the lives of their children, the next generation. But their sin was against God. We need to make sure that we don't sin against God. We need to have His word in our heart. Because when we come across a situation where maybe we're not sure what to do, or we come across something, or we're watching something we shouldn't be, or whatever the case is, if we've got His word in our heart, the Holy Spirit will use that and speak to us through His word and say, "Remember what you read today. You shouldn't go that way. Remember what the Bible said. Remember the sermon that was preached the other day. Remember what you read in your study about this thing here. You should not do that." And if we have His word in us, we're taking it in, we're looking at the words of God, as we read in Proverbs, and we're letting it affect our heart, it'll get inside of us, and it'll lead us against what our heart desires. Verse 12 says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." We need to set our hearts toward the word of God. We need to have a desire to learn the word of God. We need to hunger after those things. We need to hunger after His word. It'll affect us. We're taking it in, into our heart, when we let Him teach us. Verse 13, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth."
I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. And all these different things, you know, the judgments, the testimonies, precepts, statutes, these are all just different ways of saying God's word. These are all things found in God's word. These are all different references to the words of God. We need to be glad for the judgments that God puts forth. He loves judgment. He loves righteous judgment. And we need to have our hearts in line with Him in such a way that we like it when righteous judgment takes place. You see, the desperate and deceitful wicked heart that we have does not want to be judged for sin. And so naturally, we want to avoid those things. We don't want people to judge our sin. We don't want God to judge us. That's why people avoid this book, because this book will judge your sins. And then it will challenge you to do something about it according to the Word of God. And our heart naturally does not want that. Our heart wants to duck and dodge and dive away from all this sin. But the Word of God confronts us. It causes us to face the Lord, face His Word, and say, you know what? God, you're right, and I'm wrong. And I need to go your way. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. And so there is joy in the judgment of the Lord. There is joy in the words of God. There is joy when the Word of God directs our path away from where our heart would lead us. There's joy in that. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. We need to respect the Word of God. We need to respect what God says is and is not. We need to respect what the Bible says. But especially, we need to meditate. We need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to think about the Word of God. When you get up in the morning and you read some scripture, you go through your Bible reading or whatever your devotion is for the day, you get that inside you to start the day, meditate on it. Meditate on it. We were talking about that with the teens the other day, about meditation. We were going through Psalm 1, and you know, it's like the cow. He eats his meal, or he eats his food, but then throughout the day he chews that cud, right? We need to do the same thing with the words of God. And I'm told this, and maybe somebody here can correct me later because I don't personally know, but I've been told that the cow will get more nutrients from chewing that cud than just actually eating the initial meal. And if we do that same thing and we sit here and we meditate on God's word and we mull it over and we digest it and we chew that cud spiritually, we're going to get so much more out of it than when we just read it and walk away. Keep meditating on the words of God. Keep chewing that cud. Keep thinking about it. And that's how you get it in your heart. And that's how it stays in your heart throughout the day, so that it can lead you away from bad things and into good things. Keep it in your heart. Meditate on it. Think about it throughout the day. Come up with questions to God throughout the day, which you read. If you keep meditating on it, you'll think about it. And you'll say, you know what, Lord? Well, what about this? What about that? And it will cause you, if you meditate on God's word, to hunger for God's word. And you'll be excited to get back home or get back somewhere or get back in church to get some answers to your questions if you've been mulling it over. But if you just read it and walk away and forget everything that you just heard and saw and read, you're not going to have a desire to get back to it. You're not going to hunger for it. You'll cease from meditation. And meditating on God's word will help you have respect to God's word. And we have to have respect for God's word. We have to have respect for the things that God tells us to do and not do, the ways that He tells us to go and not go. We have to have respect for that. And we need to show our kids that we have respect for that. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train them to have respect unto God and His word. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And so we see delight, joy, happiness, blessing coming from what God's word says. Not forgetting it. How do you avoid forgetting it? Well, you meditate on it. You meditate. You keep thinking about it. This all requires a conscious effort to keep God's word in your heart, to keep thy heart with all diligence, as we read earlier. You have to keep God's word in, but before you can do that, you've got to take it in. You've got to look at it, you've got to let it affect you, and you've got to make a conscious effort to keep it there. And so now please go with me to Colossians chapter 3. I call this Christ's conclusion to the matter here. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 17 here. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1 says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." We need to set our affection on things above. We need to make our desire the things of God. We need to focus on God's Word. We need to prioritize Christ over what we feel and what we think. We have to do that. We absolutely have to do that. If we are risen with Christ, He needs to be our priority. And we need to focus on His Word. We need to focus on the things that He wants us to focus on. Verse 3 says, "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." Remember, you are dead to yourself. We need to walk in the new man, not the old man. The old man follows his heart, but the new man follows Christ. Verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify there your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them." And so all of those things that are mentioned here in verse 5, those are all the things that come out of our heart. That's where all that comes from. All that wickedness and perversion, all that sin, uncleanness, fornication, covetousness, which is idolatry. All of those things that the children of Judah were doing in Jeremiah 17, all the things that God's people had gotten into were caused by the deceitful wickedness of their heart. All of these things come from our heart naturally. And so we are to mortify them in Christ by the Word of God. We need to walk in the new man. Look at verse 8. "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." And so we look at verses 8 and 9. Wrath, anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Remember what Jesus said, it's what comes out that defiles a man, because that's the stuff that's in your heart. All of these things, if they come out in you, if they come out of your mouth, it's because they started in your heart first. And He's telling us to mortify, therefore, your members. He's telling you to align your heart with the Word of God, so that these things don't come out of you. He's telling you to take in the words of God so that when you open your mouth, it's those things that are in the Word of God that come out. But you can't have the Word of God, you can't have those things that are pleasing to God come out of your mouth if they're not in your heart. You got to get them inside you, because all this wicked, nasty stuff is already there. Filthy communication comes out of our mouth naturally. We need to correct that by the words of God and letting His Word get in our heart, making a conscious effort to allow God's Word to change our heart, putting on the new man. Verse 12, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." One of the best things that you can do if you have a heart problem, according to the Word of God, is to forgive somebody else. Remember that Christ forgave us. Just think about all of the wickedness in your heart. You know what you've done. We all know the sins that we've committed throughout our lives. Nobody else needs to know that, but God knows, and you know. Think about that for a minute, and think about all the things that the Lord has forgiven you if you're saved and bought by His precious blood this morning. Think about all that He has forgiven you. How could you not forgive somebody else? You've got the same desperate and wicked heart, the same deceitful flesh in you that they have. How can we not forgive others? These things found in verse 12, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Those things don't come naturally to us. Our heart wants to condemn everybody. Our heart wants to hold grudges. Our heart wants to naturally be bitter against any offense that we can imagine, any issue that we have imagined in our heart that's not rooted in the Word of God. Our heart is wicked. These things don't come, these good things, mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's what happens when you let the Lord change you. That's what happens when you're walking in the new man. That's what happens when you let God's Word be a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. That's what happens when you follow the Word of God and not that old, desperate, wicked heart that really is just focused on self. If you notice these things that God calls us in us, these things that the Word of God calls us to, it's putting others first. They're not selfish things, forbearing one another, having mercy, long-suffering. It's putting others first. One way that you can check your heart by the Word of God is, are you focusing on others? Are you focusing on the Lord? Are you putting others first? Are you clothed in humility? Are you humble before God? Or are you just focused on what your heart wants? If you're focused on yourself, you're following your heart. And that is the opposite direction that God wants you to go. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That word charity, that's a special kind of love. It says that it's the bond of perfectness, the bond of perfection. Charity is a kind of love that puts others first. It's not just a feeling. It's not just, oh, well, you know, I love them, they're so wonderful. Charity is love put into action and putting somebody else above yourself. Because that's what Christ did. Christ is the perfect example of charity because he put others first. And that's how we check our hearts, by doing what the Word of God says, by putting others first, loving one another, not prioritizing ourselves and our fleshly desires above the needs of others. And verse 15 says there's peace in that. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God is not going to rule in your heart if you're not getting His Word in your heart. Peace of God is not going to rule in your heart if you are following your heart instead of God. And he also mentions at the end of verse 15, and be ye thankful. If you can forgive others, and you can be thankful to God for what you have, those two things are going to make a tremendous impact on your heart. And you're going to start putting others first. And you're going to start praising God for what you have. And you're not going to worry about the things you don't have. And you're not going to worry about those desires that your heart wants. You're not going to worry about making more money and getting more toys and four-wheelers and guns. And you're not going to focus on sports and, you know, how you can get your kid to the All-Stars and how you can do all these great things. You're not going to focus on your new promotion at work and all these things above the Word of God. You're going to be thankful for what He's given you, and it's going to change your heart, and it's going to affect your kids too. For good. Verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The Word of Christ. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's why we sing these hymns. Because it reminds us of the great things that God has done in our lives. It reminds us of just how holy and good He is and how much we need Him, because we're not. We need to be thankful. Singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Letting the Word of God affect us in such a way that we don't ever let His grace escape us, that we never forget His grace that He's given us through the blood of Christ. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If you will just find it in your heart to be thankful to the Lord for what he's given you and what you already have, you will find that you will be satisfied with what he's given you. And you won't desire other things. You won't desire more and more and more. And you won't be focused on yourself. Having a thankful heart before the Lord will make all the difference. And to close, I'd like to go to Philippians chapter 4, please. Because the last thing our heart naturally wants for us is peace. Our heart is constantly unsettled. Out of it comes the issues of life. There's always this worry. You lay down at night and you think, oh, well, I didn't do this, or did I do this, or did I check that, did I lock this? You know, you think about the things going on at work, and your heart's going to stress you out if you let it. But God has a different plan. He's got a different idea. We're going to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." If you want peace with God and you want peace in your heart, look at verse 8 here. All of those things that are mentioned, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. There's only one person that fits the description of all those things, and that's Jesus Christ. We need to focus on Jesus Christ. We need to meditate on Jesus Christ. We need to think about His words, and we need to think about not just the words of God, but the person, the living Word of God, Jesus. We need to keep our hearts and thoughts on Him. That's what we need to meditate on. Meditating on what things are true. Don't worry about the false things. Don't worry about the lies. Don't worry about what the news media and social media and the TV and radio and all these other things are saying. What saith the Lord? What saith the Scriptures? What says God's Word here? That's what's true. Who is true? We need to focus on Jesus. Not the lies, not what's false. Not what your heart wants you to tell you. Your heart is going to deceive you and tell you all kinds of lies. But what does God say? What does His Word say? Focus on that. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. The things that are good. Righteous judgment. Holy things. Focus on the Lord. Because He is honest. He is just. And not a single one of us is. Whatsoever things are pure. Well, that would be the Word of God and Jesus Christ. He was our perfect and sinless sacrifice that God needed. And not a single one of us could have done that. We're not pure. That's why we need to meditate on the words of God. That's why we need the words of God in our heart. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, in our heart constantly to lead us and guide us. Think on Him. Think about Him. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Don't worry about the bad report. Don't worry about the rumors. Don't worry about all these things. God knows. He knows what's going on. He knows about the wars. He knows about the economy. He knows who's president, who's going to be president, who's not going to be president. He knows all these things. He knows what's going on in this country. He knows what's going on in our school systems. He knows all of these horrible things. He knows the apostasy that's going on in churches all across this nation and in this world. People forsaking the words of God, welcoming things like homosexuality into the churches and into the pulpits and all kinds of other godless debauchery that war against the Word of God. He knows what's going on. Don't worry about it, but trust Him to handle it. Just do your part and follow His Word. And let His Word change your heart And don't worry about those things. Just give it all to God. Give it all to the Lord. And look, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. The only truly virtuous one is Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, virtue came out of him. If you touched me today, virtue ain't going to come out of me. We need to focus on Jesus Christ. And I want to say this too. We can get an idea of a person that we like a lot. We can turn men into idols. We can have people, favorite singers, favorite movie stars, favorite, you know, whatever, somebody that's a really good Bible teacher or something like that. We can make an idol out of men, but I'm telling you, getting any closer to any particular man, you're not going to get the virtue that you'll get if you'll just meditate on Jesus Christ. You're not going to get the kind of virtue that you're going to get if you draw closer to the Lord Jesus. So focus on Him. Don't try and focus on other people in a sense that you're going to get this virtue from them. It only comes through the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there be any praise, think on these things. Rather than thinking about the bills you got to pay, rather than thinking about, you know, all of these different worried things on your horizon, the things you have to do. You got to work. You've got to do all these things. These things are part of life. But don't worry about those and don't think on them. Think about the blessings that God has given you. Think about things that you can praise the Lord for. You need to maintain a posture of praise in your heart. Maintain an attitude of worship towards the Lord. And that's going to help you. You're going to say, you know what? God is good. In fact, He's really good. He's got this. I don't need to worry about it. He's going to provide for me. As His children, He is not going to let us just get run down. He's going to provide for us. We might have to go through some hard times, but He's going to see us through. We just trust in Him. Think about that. Think about reason to praise Him. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And that's the final step in this equation. You got to look at the words of God. You got to keep your eyes on the Word of God. You got to let the Word of God get in your heart. You got to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to recognize the problem, and then you need to meditate on all these things that only Jesus is. But then in verse 9, he says, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, all of this in the Word of God and Jesus Christ, he says, do. We have to put it to action. Otherwise, we're just doing it in vain. You can read God's Word in vain. You can come to church in vain. You can praise the Lord in vain. You can do all of these things. You can meditate on all these things. You can follow every step up until this point totally in vain and still do what your wicked, deceitful heart has convinced you to do if you don't decide with a conscious decision to do what the Word of God says you ought to do. And to follow Jesus and not your heart. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we come together, Lord, and we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious blood that washes us clean of our sin, Lord. There is no other cure for our heart problem but your blood and your word, Lord. We thank you. We pray, God, you'd help us not to follow our hearts, but to follow your words, Lord, and to follow you, Lord Jesus, as our good shepherd. We give all glory and honor and praise to you, Father. Help us, Lord, for we are but flesh, and we need you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I give a stand with your heads bowed, please. I'm going to have a hymn of invitation. I don't really question that God has spoken to people here this morning. Now you can do something about it. Now you get to do. You can stand there, do nothing, or you can do something. So if God has spoken to you this morning and you need to come to this altar and seal it, then right now, I invite you to come. Come right now. Just be obedient to the Lord. thine own way, Lord. That's what we sing. So he tells us what his way is. Meditate in his word. Make his word the focus, the priority of our life. Are you doing that? Is that a reality in you? Thank you for being here this morning, and make sure you reach out to our visitors this morning. Thank them for coming. So yesterday morning, I spent my time with the Lord and then getting ready to come over for Outreach Saturday. I decided I was just going to listen to someone that I don't normally listen to. So I just started looking at just find a church that I don't really know that well, and got on their website. Started listening to this man preach. Now, he wasn't the pastor. He was an assistant pastor in this church. And he was preaching about God's word. He made a statement that I really hadn't thought about. He said, "You will not find anywhere in the Bible where you are told to read God's word." Now, you know, I'm a very big advocate on reading God's word. I think you got to read a lot of it. I think you ought to read a lot of it every day. You've heard me for 21 years say that. But he went through and he said, you will find where the Word of God says you are to meditate in God's Word. You will find where it tells us to memorize, and Brother Brady just went over that a few moments ago. Hide God's Word in your heart. You will find where it says we teach our children this, study to show yourself approved unto God. Where is our priorities? He listed a whole bunch of things that become priorities in people's lives. And nothing compares. Everything pales in comparison to this. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. God's real blunt. So if you are not reading, because you got to read it to meditate in it. You got to read it to study it. If you're not reading the word, meditating in it, studying it, God says, you're going to end up living the life of a fool. You say, I don't like those words. Then do something about it. Get in this book. If you're doing that, praise the Lord. If you're not, you can start. I mean, today is the first day of the rest of your life. You've heard that saying, right? Today is the first day of the rest of my life. You know, from this moment on, nothing has to be the same. This book has to have priority in my life. Even as a pastor, it has to have priority in my life. It has to have priority in every member of the congregation's life. Is it a priority? Is it a priority? I think God purposely had him preach today. I really do. Maybe I shouldn't say this, I'm going to say this. Mr. Scott has been saved for 2.5 years. He's been saved for 2.5 years. Can you tell something about him? He is consuming this. And it is showing in his life. I hope that didn't embarrass you, Brady. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But I'm amazed at what God's word will do to change a man or a woman when we actually get serious about it and get into it. And just spend time with him. I say this all the time. You know, you don't got the time I have. This is my calling. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But sometimes we can also use that as an excuse. We got time for TV. We got time for sports. We got time for hobbies. We got time for make time. Make time. Make time. Get into this book. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Be in prayer for VBS. Be in prayer for the kids. As mentioned today in our class, I think as Zach said, you know, let's pray for the kids that are coming too, not just the workers. Pray that God will begin to tender kids' hearts, teenagers' hearts for the gospel as they come. That God would just do a special work in their life. Well, let's go ahead. We'll bow for prayer. We'll see you back here tonight at 5 o'clock. John, I'm just going to have you close this in prayer, please.